Brothers and sisters, I proclaim to you this morning the word of our God as we could read it from Revelation chapter 1 as well as Exodus 25 and Matthew 5. I'd like to ask your attention in particular for the words of verse 13, Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, what John sees in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man. What John sees, brothers and sisters, is passed on to us for our instruction and encouragement. Us, we're September the 1st today, 2019, Southern Ontario. It's Labor Day tomorrow. Holidays have come to their end. Tomorrow school starts again. No, Tuesday, you still get one day off. Work is on again. The regular season with the regular privileges and obligations. Work, school, in Southern Ontario. Under the lordship of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, Sovereign of Canada. So sovereign is he that he is Lord of every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every place, wherever we may be, across the continent or around the globe. Which is to say, we do our work consciously under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Labor Day, we are laborers in his kingdom. We recognize, as do our work, that there's a lot of rebels in God's kingdom. People who resist the Savior, deny the Savior. That puts pressure on the Christian in the workplace, perhaps in school too. How am I to live as a faithful servant of Jesus Christ in a context of resistance? Then you'll recall that last Sunday, with the first part of Revelation chapter 1, I drew out what the church is, the gathering of the obedient citizens of Christ's kingdom. They're gathered for official kingdom business. In other words, in this gathering of the citizens of God's kingdom, church, the Lord instructs, encourages, corrects, comforts his people with a view to the needs of tomorrow, of Tuesday, of Wednesday, etc. Sunday, church, is for Monday, Tuesday. We're equipped. That was last week. So now the question comes to you this morning. Do you really need the church? I mean, not that you're a member, but that you join Sunday by Sunday the assembly, the gathering of the people of God. Do you really need to be here? What's being here good for? In our text this morning, our Savior presses upon us absolutely. You need to be here. I summarize the sermon with this theme: faithful churches, that's the assembly of the obedient citizens of God's kingdom. Faithful churches are Christ's divine lampstands in this world. In developing that theme, I ask your attention for 3 points. The first is, what are lampstands for? Then, who tends the lampstands? In third place, how do we fit in? First then, what are lampstands for? To lead into that question, I want to say first that humans have finite vision. With the naked eye, we can see a lot, but we can't see everything. And so people have discovered telescopes, and with telescopes we can see what's far away. People have discovered microscopes, and now we can see what's really, really small. But the naked eye can't see. Now, perhaps in a similar way, there are other realities in this world that with our naked eye we can't see. For example, the reality of Jesus Christ, the reality of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. The reality of how he equips his people for life in his world. According to verse 10, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Sunday. In the Spirit. Whatever that exactly means, the result is he's seeing things his naked eye wasn't otherwise seeing. And what's he seeing? He says, 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of these lampstands, one like a son of man. It's not that these lampstands weren't there before, and one like a son of man wasn't there before. What you see through a microscope is there, whether you're looking at it or not. And so it is here. Now John is in the Spirit, and he's seeing realities the naked eye doesn't otherwise see. The 7 golden lampstands, he says in verse 20, are the 7 churches. We have a list of the 7 churches in verse 11. This is the churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Those churches are there. But John's in the island of Patmos, so many miles away from mainland present-day Turkey. Those churches are there, and John can't see them. But now he's in the Spirit, and he can see those churches. And they're defined as lampstands. And in the midst of those 7 churches, one like a son of man. He's always there, but John's not always seeing him. He is now. because he's looking through his telescope. No, I mean, he's in the spirit. Those seven churches, each of them are gatherings of the obedient citizens of God's kingdom, one in Ephesus, one in Thyatira, one in Sardis, etc. But each of them, as it turns out, have problems in some way. We'll come, the Lord willing, to those details of these seven churches in the weeks to come. But for now, I may simply mention to you that the seven Jesus in chapter 2 and 3 is going to describe as the one is dead, another makes Jesus puke, spit him out, another is weak, another has lost his first love, another is in love with the world. They all have problems, and John knows it very well. John's living among seven churches too. Tradition has it he was minister in Ephesus. But despite their weaknesses, these Christians in these various towns are churching Sunday by Sunday, gathering together in all weakness in preparation for the challenges of Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. They do it in weakness. And before Christ describes the weaknesses and addresses the weaknesses, what does he do? He gives in our chapter a word of great encouragement. And it's a word of encouragement that we need too. We're aware of weaknesses in our midst. Weaknesses can get discouraging. And the Lord says, we'll get to the weaknesses. First, a word of great encouragement. And how does the Savior do that? Describes the seven churches, weak as they are, as lampstands. Now, what's a lampstand? And it seems to me that our default way of thinking about a lampstand is that's a lamp, that's a light. Well, no. A lampstand isn't a lamp. A lamp, back in those days, we need to think not of these kind of lights, but we're needing to think of a clay container, a bit of a dip in it for oil. And in that dip is also a wick, and you light that wick and the oil burns. It's more candle-like, if you will. It's a source of light for the home. And we understand that, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, you don't put the lamp on the floor or under the pew. That wouldn't shed much light in this room, under the bed, Jesus says. You put the light on a lampstand. You elevate the thing. A lampstand, something like that, that'll stand there with a flower on it. And the higher you lift it, the more it can shed light into the room. Now, why does Jesus compare these churches to the stand? Not the lamp, but to the lampstand. And here's where we need to go back to the Old Testament. And so we read together the portion from Exodus 25, where the Lord gives instruction as to the building of the tabernacle. You're familiar with the tabernacle, a tent with two rooms. In the back is the Holy of Holies, where the ark was to be placed. This is where God would dwell, Holy of Holies. Then you get in front of the other room called the Holy Place, and here's the door, and the people are outside. Of course, the altar standing between the tabernacle and the people. But as to the tabernacle itself, God then in the back. Now, dividing these two rooms is a curtain. And the instruction of Exodus 25 is that in front of the curtain, in this holy place where God is not, he's in the most holy place, in this holy place where God is not, that room between God and the people, there had to be a table, yes, but also a lampstand. Just in front of the Holy of Holies. This particular lampstand, says Exodus 25, had to be made of a talent of pure gold, that's about 75 pounds, hammered into particular shape. The shape, a central candle, if you will, with three arms on the left side and three arms coming out on the right side. You've seen the menorah, as it's called. That's the lampstand. And then, according to verse 37 of Exodus 25, you shall make seven lamps for the lampstand. And the point of the seven lamps is that on top of each of these, the central plus the three arms and three arms, these seven tops then, you put your lamp. So the whole thing, the lampstand, serves to elevate the lamps. It stands in front of the most holy place. Purpose? To remind the people, this is a dark world, that God is light. That light is from God. That's why the lampstand is made of gold. Gold represents the heavenly. There are seven lights on it. Fullness of light. What this world needs in terms of light, it all comes from God. That's the instruction of Exodus 25. In the course of the years, the people of Israel understood that particular instruction. So, the psalmist in Psalm 27, we sang it, says, "The Lord is my light." He's confessing what he's been taught from the lampstand in the tabernacle. Similarly, Psalm 119, "Your word is a light to my feet, a lamp on my path." The word is God's word. Stands here for God's instruction. God is light. There is progress in the history of revelation, of salvation. For the God who came to live with his people in the Holy of Holies, it says John became flesh. The word became flesh. And then John adds, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, light for men. This is God, light, come into the world. It's why Jesus could declare, it's John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." This light of the world was crucified, was snuffed out, and the world's dark. And he arose and the light returns, then yes, he ascends into heaven, but he pours out his Spirit. And in the Spirit, Christ Jesus, the Father and the Son, come to live in the hearts of God's own, so that you and I are temples of the Lord. But if Christ the light dwells in you and me, then brothers, sisters, we are lights ourselves. That is why Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. That your identity, the Savior says, is what you are. And that's equally why the apostle can write to the Philippians and say in chapter 2 that they are shining as lights in this world of darkness. That's what he says. You are shining as lights, because that's what you are. Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ made his home in you. He is light, so you become light. Now, do you put lights on the floor? Do Christians live, place themselves just on the ground? And Jesus says, no, lights belong on a lampstand. Give them elevation. Give them profile. They got a place. Shed the light in the house. Christians need a lampstand. The lampstand, church. The church, it's not some invisible entity. That is the gathering of the obedient citizens of God's kingdom, gathered for kingdom business. Church, that's the lampstand that gives the lamp, the members, the Christians, elevation, opportunity to lighten the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In our case, that's Southern Ontario, the area where we live. And we're hearing this, and we're saying that's quite a description for what church is. That's the lampstand, gives elevation to the Christian. But how does that all work? How does this gathering this morning, we're being church now, we're gathered together, how does this elevate you so you can shine better in Smithville Peninsula? It's our second point. How does it all work? Who tends these lampstands? John's made to see these seven lampstands, all of whom have problems. But in the midst of the seven lampstands is one like the Son of Man. In their midst, there's seven lampstands, seven churches. In their midst, what's that mean? Is he just kind of standing there? In their midst, he's a presence, that's it, just there. And we understand that that's not the point. In their midst, he's there for a reason. Now I've got to take you back to Exodus 25. for those lamps, that lampstand that Israel was to build with the seven lamps on each arm, required, and you find this detail in Leviticus chapter 24, required that the priests would enter the holy place on a daily basis, maybe twice a day, to tend the lampstand. They had to approach it in the midst, if you will, of the lampstand. Had to tend the lampstand, that's reference to ensuring enough oil, cleaning the wick, trimming the wick, etc., right? Make sure it shines brightly. And that's the case here. But who is this one who's tending the lampstand, and hence the lamps? One like a son of man, says John. And that's a phrase that John borrows from Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel is made to see a vision in the context of the Babylonian exile when everything looks hopeless, and he sees a vision of the triumph of God. One comes to God like a son of man. We understand that's going to be the Savior Jesus Christ. And to him is given power and dominion and authority. And that's the whole point here. Who is working amongst the lampstands is this awesome, this glorious Son of God who died on the cross but arose, ascended, received that throne in heaven, sovereign in all the world. This one, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, delightful, marvelous. And that's who John sees there. And then you'll notice in the chapter that we read that there's references to the word like, and you recall from the sermons on Ezekiel, the comparisons, one like. Well, here too, John can't find enough words to describe what Jesus Christ is like, and so he uses comparisons. We'll get to those comparisons in the coming weeks. But for now, we're needing to know this Christ is glorious. He's in the midst of the churches. John sees him, so glorious is he. He falls on his face. But Jesus says, don't worry. Arise. I've got something to tell. I, glorious, exalted Christ, have something to tell you, John, to pass on to the seven churches. Write this down, what you see. Ah, yes. It's a glorious gospel. Christ at work in the churches, equipping. How? It's the word. He's trimming the wick, supplying the oil. That's what happens Sunday by Sunday when the people are gathered together through the preaching. Audible preaching, visible, the sacraments. Christ is equipping for service in his world tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. That's also why Jesus talks about the seven stars in his hands. Who are the seven stars? The angels of the seven churches. And we're not to think here of angels in heaven. Every church has its own heavenly angel. That's not the point, because the word angel appears in other places of Scripture as messenger. That's what angel means. A messenger, sometimes from heaven, angel, but also from earth. John's on the island of Patmos. We're not to think he's all by himself. Archaeology makes it plain that there was more inhabitants than just the one. My point being, there's visitors come to the island. That's how John's revelation gets to the seven churches. It would appear that these seven churches sent a messenger to the island, to John. And John sends his revelation back via these messengers to the seven churches. But my point is now that Jesus says that the seven stars are in his hand. These messengers, the preachers of the gospel, in the Savior's hands. How does Jesus trim the wick of his people so that you shine? Through the preaching of the messengers, bringing his word to his people. Let's move on now to our last point. How do we fit in? We live in 2019. John's revelation was given back in the year 90 AD. 2,000 years ago. Relevant to you and me? My brothers, my sisters, one like the Son of Man is the exalted Christ. He's above time, above space. He remains Lord of Lords in Canada in 2019. And what is he doing? This same Son of Man, enthroned, is still gathering his churches. And he's gathering his church here in Smithfield, too. This church of his in Smithfield is a lampstand. The church itself is not the lamp. The lamp is you, each member. And what Christ does, he's walking in the midst of the lampstand, so Smithfield and so many of the churches across the country, trimming the wick. Through the preaching, he's equipping you Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, equipping you for the challenge of living in his kingdom on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Be that at work, be that at home, be that at school, in the midst of whatever cross currents there may be and winds that would blow your candle out, here it is the Lord would trim your wick. Here he would equip so you can shine. So here's your question. Is church important? Should you be here? Should you join with the saints Sunday by Sunday? Could I invite you to take your book of praise and turn to Article 28 of the Belgic Confession? You'll find that on page 511 of your book of praise. Article 28, everyone's duty to join the church. And like I said last week, the word join does not mean that you get your name in the membership roll. Join is what you do every Sunday anew. You're joining the assembly of the people of God by coming here again and again and again. That's joining. And now we say, we believe, since this holy assembly and congregation is the assembly of the redeemed, there is no salvation outside of it, that no one ought to withdraw from it, continue by himself, etc. But everybody is bound to join. Now, I want to underline for a moment the third line, there is no salvation outside of it. Brothers, sisters, and the boys and girls know this very well too. Where do you go for your gasoline? You don't go to Foodland for gasoline. You don't go to Home Hardware for gasoline. You got to go to the Petro-Can station in town or elsewhere, but that's where gasoline is available. There is no, let's just stay now within that shopping center complex in town here. There is no gasoline available outside of Petro-Can. Where is salvation available? Here. Where does Christ trim your wick? Where does he fill up your lamp? Not in Foodland, not Home Hardware, but the Petro-Can station. No, I mean here, you catch my point. That's the purpose, the reference in your confession. Do you need to be here? You need fuel for your tank. And this is where it's supplied. You want to do the miles of the week? You fuel up here. That's the point of Sunday. That's the point of church. Christ is among the lampstands. He would give you profile in this world, give you the zip, the energy you need for the week ahead. And that's why, like I said last week, oncing, you're hurting yourself. Skipping church, you're hurting yourself. You minimize, you hamper, you diminish your ability to shine in God's world. Ahead of us, holidays are done, season of work. We're back into it full tilt. In a world that doesn't acknowledge Jesus Christ, the devil, the world, our own flesh do not cease to attack us. You need fuel to persevere. You need your wick trimmed to persevere. Christ labors in the midst of the lampstands. So that's where you want to be. Now, isn't that a glorious gospel? You know where to go to get equipped for the season ahead. Isn't the Lord gracious in telling us? Amen.